Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About Christianity. I'm Keith.
And I'm Zach.
And together we are bringing you this program. We're doing something a little bit different today.
It's not little. It's a big milestone.
It is a big milestone. And
that's not degraded. It's big.
We're coming to you live today, and that is something that is very new for us.
We're coming to you live on faith today.
We are, because this is one of those things where, you know, well, really a lot of what we're doing is untested. Everything we're doing is. Normally we record the program earlier in the week, and it just didn't work out this week. Mm-mm. And so we said, you know what, we're just going to do it live, because actually, when we started the program, it took us like hours to record a 30-minute episode.
Yeah, it was bad. And mostly then, that was my fault.
No, I wouldn't blame it all on you. Not all of it.
Not all. The majority of it.
But
at least 80%.
You know, we got it down to actually, you know, for probably the last 15 episodes, we've sat down and recorded in one shot.
Right. Now there has been an hour lead in and then an hour lead out.
Right.
We have conversations. So
right.
I'm really here for about 3 hours.
But, you know, when it comes time to record, we've been pretty much doing it in one shot.
Right.
And so today we said, you know what, we did not have time to record. We're just going to record while we are broadcasting.
Yep.
And so that's very different. This is episode number 37.
You've really been on the ball lately.
I've kept track
numbers.
Of that here lately. But episode number 37, and for the past 4 weeks, we have discussed the theme of everybody got problems.
Everybody's got them problems.
And we've talked about a number of different things. We've talked about schools, church, family, and homes. And last week, we talked about problems more on a personal level. And today, we really want to wrap up that discussion. We've kind of got one more topic that we want to talk about. Relative to problems.
And this is a topic that's very specific to the day and age that we live in and the technology era that we live in right now.
It is. It has a lot to do with this age right now, and that is social media. Last night, as a matter of fact, Zach, I took one of my daughters to, she had a meeting at an organization that she is a part of, and, I'm being very vague, I'm not naming any names or anything of that nature, but, you know, there are a lot of young people involved in that organization, but the ages probably ranged from 5 or 6 years old all the way up to people in their 20s, but the director, as he was opening this meeting, he made the comment that the board of directors actually monitored social media, and that they had noticed that there were some comments on some discussion board somewhere. I don't know, you know, I'm using that very vaguely. He didn't go into details, and I didn't ask, you know, but some form of social media where essentially some were being attacked by others. And, you know, he had to address that up front last night before the entire group. He obviously knew who it was that was doing it, but he did not single anybody out, but he let the entire group know that that kind of thing did not need to be taking place.
And that's becoming commonplace throughout really anything. It's commonplace in the workforce when you go into an interview. It's common for the interviewer to ask you what your social media outlets are, so that way they can look at your social media outlets and see what you post on social media.
And a lot of times they don't ask. Either.
Right. They just look it up.
Right. Because here's the thing about it. If you put anything on social media, it never goes away.
Right.
You may go in and you may delete that post or that thread or that tweet or whatever, but that does not mean that it's gone.
It's there forever.
And the same is true of photos. If you use any photos, if you take any photos and you share those photos through any kind of media. And I didn't even say social media there. If you send a photo over a text message, you better mm-hmm. assume that everybody in the world has access to that.
Yes, you should.
And, you know, that's something that some people have learned the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
They thought something was being shared just among friends and came to find out that, nope, the whole world pretty much knew about it. You know, it's just...
We have so much information in this society. We have so much information on everything, and so many things can be accessed by the tip of your finger.
Yes. And
in a matter of seconds.
When it comes to the social media, you know, and a lot of this I know is geared at our young people, but...
You said, when it comes to the social media, you sounded like you were 75 just now.
Well, I feel it today, Zach,
anyway,
okay? So,
when it comes to the social media...
When it comes to that social media, you know, this isn't just directed at the young people, though.
Even though
there are a lot of them who are not really... prepared, shall we say, to deal with the consequences that can
yes.
result from social
mm-hmm.
media.
They don't understand the consequences, yeah.
And exactly. And, you know, you've all seen, everybody who has any kind of social media has that friend who just got on social media for the very first time. And, you know, that friend may be 20 or that friend may be 75 like I am today, you know. and they post a comment on there on, you know, on one of the public walls that, I didn't know everybody was going
oh, yeah.
to be able to see this.
Yeah. And it's usually, and it's not to single anyone out or single any generation out, but I've seen a lot of older people, middle-aged to older generation people who have posted things on Facebook that just make you cringe. Like, they just, you're like, ah.
Right,
ooh.
Right.
Yeah.
And part of that is, you know, it's very easy to post something inappropriate without meaning to.
Yes.
And part of it is, you know, like we said, they don't realize that the entire world is going to be able to see that.
Yes.
And so, you know, faux pas are very, very easy to make.
And we could even go into other aspects of social media, like the news that is shared on social media.
Yeah.
The information that is shared on social media.
My general inclination is if I read something on social media, I don't believe it.
Yeah. That should be, it, honestly, like, you say it in a jokey manner, but it should be a rule of thumb, I feel like, because there's a lot of things on Facebook, there's a lot of things, even on Twitter, and I don't even use Twitter that much, but there's a lot of what we would call, air quotations, fake news
mm-hmm.
that is shared on Facebook and on Twitter, and unless it comes from, I question anything I see on Facebook or any social media outlet, but... especially if it doesn't come from a reputable news outlet or a reputable news source.
Well, and there have been a number of times, and I've tried to do it kindly, but, you know, a friend may have posted something on Facebook, shared a link, and for some reason these links are, you know, when it comes election time,
yeah.
you know, they're much worse, but...
they're all over
you know,
your feed.
They'll share a link, and I'll look at that, and I'll think, you know what, that something doesn't sound quite right, and that sounds just a little too fantastic to be true, and I will go and do a little bit of research and find out, nope, it wasn't true at all,
mm-hmm.
and so I will, you know, kindly try to send them a message saying, hey, you know, what you have posted is not accurate, and, you know, and then share a link with them showing what actually is accurate. And
that is something, too, that extends to all generations, not just one specific generation, because I have people on my feed who share things that are my age that are false.
Yes.
And fake news, and they don't look at the source, and they don't look to see if the information is correct or what they're reading.
Right. So when we start talking, though, from the perspective of Christians... you know, we need to be very careful about what we are sharing on social media, and you know, for all of the aforementioned reasons, number one, it may be inappropriate. Number two, it may not be true. Mm-hmm. You know, you may be putting information out there that is incorrect. You may not be doing it intentionally, but you know, you could be misleading someone else, and I don't know of, you know,
especially if that news or the whatever you're sharing is degrading to another person, or is bad-mouthing another person, or is putting another person down in any sort of way.
I'll be honest with you. I don't use social media that much. I use it because I feel like I have to.
Right.
You know, I do use it to keep track of some goings on, but you know, and a lot of it having to do with the church, and of course we use social media to to promote our blog and
well, and it has almost become website. A necessity. I mean, it really has.
It really has in a large degree. But when it comes to sharing personal things, I don't do it very much. And the reason is
you have gone
this.
On a couple rants though, and you've prefaced it with, I don't usually do this. That's my favorite. I don't usually do this, and you know Keith's going on a rant.
Yeah, but it's been a while since I've even done one of
it
those.
It has. It's been about a year and a half.
You know, I'd have to look to see when the last time I actually even posted anything was.
I remember the last one you did. It was something. I don't even remember what it was about, but I remember it was like a book.
Well,
I got on there, and I'm like, Keith?
Yeah,
because
well,
you don't usually do this.
Know, no, I don't, but... The reason that I don't is I just started asking myself, you know, look, I'm getting ready to post that the traffic is backed up in front of McDonald's. that happens every day, right?
Right.
Multiple times a day.
Right.
And so I just started asking myself, what difference is this really making?
Well, and this goes back to a conversation we had this summer out there at Pavilion Ford.
Pavilion 4.
Pavilion. We'll be back soon. We may go back next
soon.
Week.
We may
go back
next
week.
If the weather forecast holds, we may be back to Pavilion 4 next week, yes.
And make us
anyway.
A nice promo video. But anyway, it goes back to a conversation that we had this summer about self-examining your social media. Do you remember that conversation?
I do remember that conversation.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think you had said the reason that you stopped posting those longer posts, those rants, quote, was because you did a self-examination of your social media.
Yes.
And what are the things that you looked for in this self-examination of your social media, which I thought was really, really, really good and really brilliant, was you looked for if you were being negative in your posts.
Right.
Because, right. I mean, if you think about it, if we're negative in our social media posts, which, let's be honest here, a lot of us do. And a lot of times, the only thing we post on Facebook is negative. Rarely do we post things that are positive.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of message does that send to others about our Christianity, about our faith?
Right. And, you know, when we start thinking of the purpose of social media, I'm shifting back into my 75-year-old self. I remember when I first got on social media, and I remember why I got on it. I still run into people today who are my age or what's cool is when you find somebody who is younger who doesn't use social media at all. And part of you is going, you're raising your hand over there, but you have accounts for all these different...
I have accounts for two. For two. But I understand what you're saying, yeah.
But... You know, and part of me is a little bit jealous of them that they have managed to stay away from it, for all of this time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like you said, to a large degree, it is a necessity. So much marketing goes on over social media anymore and so much news.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of people really rely on it for their information, and that doesn't even touch on, you know, the ones that rely on it to be able to keep track of friends and family, and you know, I enjoy that aspect because I have a lot of friends that I graduated high school with.
Right.
Who are on social media.
It is a good way to keep up with people who live far distances
yes,
away.
Yes, who are hundreds and hundreds of miles away and who mm-hmm. I'm blessed to be able to keep up with through that. And otherwise, I wouldn't have any clue of where they were and what they were doing
right.
and all of that. Mm-hmm. There are some good aspects about that. But when we are using social media, and personally, I think here's where the danger comes. When we are using social media just to be using social media.
Mm. I know. That's deep.
It's habit forming.
It is habit forming.
It really is habit forming.
I wake up in the morning, I get on Facebook. I do. There's different.
And this coming from the guy who was raising his hand saying, "I don't use social media."
Well, I don't post on social media. I do it periodically. I've noticed tendencies where after I do something, I'll get on Facebook. If I get bored, I get on social media or I play a game.
And that is a very good point. And I've caught myself doing the same thing. As a matter of fact, I was sitting in a line at a drive-thru last night that was backed up pretty good, and I'm sitting there, and what do? I grab the phone, I open up Facebook to take a look. If we are doing that, I think it's safe to assume that others are doing that also. Mm-hmm. And when you start looking at statistics, the amount of time that we as a generation are spending on social media, it is staggering the amount of hours that people spend on social media every day.
And that's coming from someone who grew up you didn't grow up without technology. You're not a caveman, but you grew up.
No, we had technology. We had a party line.
Right. But you grew up without, cell phones, the same things this generation of children are growing up with.
Oh, and that's
and
something
to us, those statistics probably wouldn't be as staggering.
When we got married, there were no cell phones. Well, there were, they were beginning to be introduced, mm-hmm. but
I remember car phones. My mom had a car phone mm-hmm. when I was really, really, really little.
Yeah,
I'm talking 3-4 years old. I remember it.
Nobody has a car phone anymore.
Nobody has car phones.
We've noticed it when we've traveled out of the country. We've gone to third world countries, and everybody has a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have a roof over their house, but they have a cell phone.
I'm at that weird age where I remember old technology. But I also have been able to use and were growing up as newer technology was advancing.
But we've got a generation coming who has never not known.
That's true.
And, we start talking about all of these problems, and sometimes it's hard to remember that these are indeed new problems because the mm-hmm. technology has not been around that long.
I was watching a four or five-year-old using an iPad the other day, and I'm 20 years old, and I'm watching this kid use an iPad, and he's using the iPad better than I can use an iPad.
I can't help you there. but, yes, exactly. We've got a generation coming up who, knows so much more about this stuff than we do. And, but when we... when we consider the problems relative to it, first thing I think we should consider is that these problems are not going to go away.
Nope.
They're not going to disappear. As rapid as the changes have been in technology and with social media in particular over the past two decades, I think things have kind of leveled off a little bit, but on the other hand, I think it's kind of hard to say where it is going to go next. And the point is these problems are not going to disappear. They're not going to go away on their own.
They're only going to begin to fester and fester and fester until we fix them.
So I don't know that there is a fix.
No.
Is the point that I'm trying to make. I don't think that there's a fix, but I think that we need to be prepared to manage those problems and to deal with those problems.
Well, if you listen to scientists, you listen to medical journals and things of that sort, they say the biggest danger of social media is not what we post, and it's almost not as much as we use it. The biggest danger of social media is what they call instant gratification. So anytime you want to see something, anytime you want to see a video, anytime you want to do anything, all you got to do is press a button, put a passcode in, and click on the app.
Right. And so what's the problem with instant gratification?
Well, you begin to not have to work for things. You don't have to work to go see anything. Used to, when you wanted to watch a movie, what'd you have to do, Keith?
Well,
back in the way day,
you had to do a lot for us anyway, where I grew up, because the nearest theater was 45 minutes to an hour away, and
you had VHS, correct?
We did.
You didn't have DVD, but you had VHS,
right?
But you know, if I want to watch a movie, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, well, you know, I haven't seen that movie in a while. All I got to do is press boom, passcode. Click on a specific app that lets you watch movies and TV shows.
This is true. I hadn't really thought about that, but because I don't, even to this day, I don't watch many movies. But
back in the way day, Keith, what'd you have to do to have to go talk to somebody?
Well, we had to wait for the party line to clear.
Okay, so now all I have to do is go boom, passcode, click on messages, and I could text somebody. I don't even have to call them now. I don't even have to talk to them on the phone.
Right.
I could text them.
Right. So what does that mean for us spiritually?
Got one more.
Oh, wait.
That's a big one.
I'm sorry.
That's a big one. Back in the way day, what'd you have to do if you wanted to go see somebody? Face to face.
Well, you had to go see them.
Which meant you had to get in a car.
Right.
And you had to drive somewhere, right?
Right.
Now, I just got to click a button, put in a passcode, click on my FaceTime app, and I could FaceTime somebody and literally talk to them while looking at my phone. That is instant gratification. I thought that was very profound.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay, so what does that mean for us spiritually?
What does that mean for us spiritually?
Yeah, yeah. If instant gratification is a problem, and you know, as far as the problems go, I understand what those researchers you were referring to were talking about. You know what? Those examples that you gave, seeing someone face to face, I FaceTime probably with my niece and nephew more than anybody.
Right.
You know, like my immediate family members don't FaceTime with them that much. Mm-hmm. Occasionally we will, you know.
I FaceTime with friends. I FaceTime. Mom FaceTimes me sometimes.
Oh, if I really want to annoy my daughters,
right,
I will FaceTime them from the other room. That will drive them nuts. You know, I'll FaceTime with my niece and nephew. They're in Alabama. I don't get to see them but a couple of times a year, face to face.
Right.
You know, it's cool to be able to look them in the eye over the app and to be able to talk to them, but it's still not the same.
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same. And, you know, when we start talking about, anyway, the point I was trying to make there is, I'm not sure the examples that you gave demonstrated the full impacts of the instant gratification, you know, like the researchers were talking about, because they were talking about having all of that information at your fingertips and not having to, you know, I can remember back in school writing research papers and having to spend hours and hours and hours in the library and actually touch books.
Yeah, you just couldn't get on a computer and type in Google.
Yeah,
hey,
the last research paper that I did, which was probably 6 years ago, maybe, for you know, like a formal research paper, I never touched a book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but
how does it apply to
us? Does it apply to us spiritually? That's the problem. You know, I think that as we look at the gospel and we look at what God has done for us through the gospel, you know, when you look at Jesus going to the cross of Calvary, there was no instant gratification.
No, there's not.
Nor was it ever intended that we as obedient believers should ever receive instant gratification. Mm-hmm. Can we be cleansed of our sins? Absolutely, mm-hmm. through the blood of Jesus. But we are constantly reminded of what he did for us and what he had to suffer and what he had to endure because of our sins and our transgressions.
Well, and this is how it applies to my faith. When I think of Christianity, when I think of my faith, I don't think of instant gratification, because instant gratification doesn't really apply to Christianity, because, you know, I if we look at the examples that I gave, you can't FaceTime God.
Right.
I mean, that'd be awesome, but you can't FaceTime God.
Right.
You can't text God. You have to, the only way that you can access God, only way you can access your faith and the operations of your faith is through the Bible.
And through prayer.
And through prayer.
And I wasn't sure which way you were going there. And, you know, that has not changed.
Mm-mm.
And that shall not change.
It will never change.
But the danger exists that we are going to become so saturated with this instant access to everything. And don't get me wrong, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I love having all of that information at my fingertips. But the danger exists that we aren't going to be satisfied with what God has done for us.
And, you know, like I said, I don't think of instant gratification when I think of my faith. I think of more delayed gratification.
Right.
Because that gratification that you receive through your faith, the gratification that you receive through Jesus if you've been saved and, you know, baptized and followed the plan of salvation is delayed gratification. It's something that comes over the course of a lifetime that you have to work for.
Exactly. And
but the ultimate goal is, you know, greater than anything you could ever imagine.
Yes. You know, I think it was yesterday, we were sitting around, we were talking about milkshakes.
Yes, we were.
And our love and admiration for milkshakes.
And then you proceeded to body shame me about my donuts.
But
that's another topic for another day.
And, you know, and I mentioned, as much as I love a good milkshake, that I've not had one since September. You know, if I wanted a milkshake right now,
mm-hmm. you could go get one.
No, you couldn't, because they don't fix them at 9 o'clock in the morning or 9:30, whatever time it is. Yeah. I'd still have to wait, go get one.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I won't get into that. But I've got an idea for new technology, but you know, I just don't know
Keith the engineer.
Yes. You know, sometimes the anticipation needs to be there.
I look at it as mystery.
A mystery?
A mystery. Well, it's not, I don't mean a mystery that's unsolved. I mean, you know, when you think of instant gratification, one of the things that you think of is an access to almost an overload of information.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and when you're talking with someone, maybe you're texting with someone or something like that, there's so much information going on. I feel like the mystery between people, like there's nothing you can't, like, okay, take my girlfriend, for example. If she was to tell me every single thing that she prefers, everything, every little quirk that she has and things of that sort, what would there be left to find out? You know what I mean?
Your excuse.
Right, that's my excuse.
If
she used to tell me every single thing, what would there be left to find out? There's nothing. It's you know, it's not a mystery anymore.
Okay, I'm not going to get into arguing against that.
Right.
You know, but when it comes to God.
And when it comes to God, you know, it's not a mystery.
Paul says there is no mystery remaining,
right.
Ephesians 3 and verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
He says the mystery has been revealed. Could it be, and this is a different discussion, but could it be that some people look at the revelation of God's mystery, as he describes there in mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 3, and they say, you know what, God has revealed all of this to me, but it's not what I wanted him to reveal. And so they're trying to maintain that. I told you that was a completely different discussion.
That is, that's a whole other episode out there.
Yes. But speaking of which, the clock is winding down on us. And
we're now at 4 minutes left.
Well, actually, we're about 2 minutes over, but yeah.
It's our program, our radio station.
We thank you for listening to us today as we have...
rambled.
We've rambled. We've experienced a few little technical glitches here.
We've ranted.
We've tried this out, and we think it's going to work. We think we know what to do now, and mm-hmm. we appreciate your patience for that.
And hopefully we've embarked some wisdom and knowledge on you today.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Zach, you said you posted a new blog post
last night.
I did.
We have a new blog post on our website, and it will be on Facebook right here in a second after I get on Facebook and post it.
And that is letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
And the post is called, Are You a Consistent Christian?
Oh, good. Can't wait to read it. And which tells you I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
But,
thanks for the
support. The Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/letstalkaboutchristianity.
Yes, and if you look it up in the search bar, it's Let's Talk About a Christian Radio Program Podcast.
And my email is keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
And mine is Zach, Z-A-C-H, @letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
We thank you for listening to this episode, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. Thank you very much.